I'm going to invite Barb and Sasha, if you would come join me for a minute. And as they're coming, I forgot to say before while I was at Synod this year, last year was our first time that I was at Synod when we were officially a church in the diocese. Emmaus Road had just come in to the diocese, and I was sharing our story, and our name had just changed. And so I was talking about our new name, and one of the priests came up to me after and said, "Lord's really just laid you guys on my heart, and I want to get you something." He says, "Watch your mailbox." So I watched my mailbox all year until I got to Synod this year, and he apologized. He said, "It's been in my office for months." He said, "But I brought it for you today, and when you go today, you could have a look. There's an icon at the back on where the offering table is of the Emmaus Road, and that's a gift from Father Sean in Boston. So just a beautiful gift. Wanted you to know where that came from, and kind of amazing to both connect us with the realities of the gospel that are captured in Luke 24, but you know, in a way, too, I think every time I see it, it'll be a reminder that we're part of a bigger family than we see every time we come together to worship. Thursday before I left for Synod, so about a week and a half ago, we had a big confirmation service. Many of you were able to be there, some of you weren't. And Barb and Sasha were two of 14 people that were confirmed at that service, a really beautiful night. And so we're going to talk today about the parable that was just read and about Christ the King, but I did want to take a moment to just celebrate with those who were confirmed. If you were confirmed on that Thursday, would you just stand up really quickly? Lots of people aren't here today, but you can see some of the people that were confirmed. So you could also go and talk with them. Okay, you can sit back down, but you can go and talk with them and just celebrate with them. But I thought I'd just get a couple people to share. So Barb, I'm going to give you that first. And I think I've got two questions for you guys. The first one is, why did you choose to get confirmed? And the other one is just if there's anything you want to share with us about that experience and maybe what God did in it. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Awesome.
All right. So why I got confirmed. So my husband just stood up there, Adrian. We both decided together. We've been coming to Emmaus Road since about September.
Right.
I think the first service since you guys came from the Barnes. And we've had quite a journey of coming from a very different type of church. And I actually grew up Roman Catholic, and so I've been exposed to hyper-charismatic world and Roman Catholic world, and this felt somewhere in the middle.
So it
felt oddly familiar, and I actually had a very good experience, and I had a priest in the Roman Catholic Church who had a positive influence on me, and beautiful things that came out of hyper-charismania, as some call it. So there was always beauty in both of them, but we always... Adrian and I would always struggle with, we felt like there were extremes, and there was always this middle way that we couldn't quite find wherever we went. And as we started coming here and being introduced to the Anglican way, and I always thought Anglicans were our quirky cousins, you know, neither here nor there. But I've known Sarah Maynard and the Maynards for, gosh, we keep trying to figure it out, I think almost 20 years. And she's sort of shared with me her journey of coming into the Anglican way, and I was always very curious about it. And as we started coming here and I started learning, came to the classes, and I think I turned to Adrian one day and I said, "I think we've always been Anglican," because there's this emphasis on the Spirit but also the Word, and it felt so comforting. And so the structure and the governance is comforting, but also the leaning on Holy Spirit and knowing that Jesus loves us. And there's this balance that's holy, and not adherence to letter of the word or work or being saved through works or anything like that. And it's just this beautiful thing that we're sort of living into, I think is a phrase you used, Father Chad. And I really love that, because we didn't come, we're new to Anglicanism, and we dove in a way. It feels very quick, but it's also something of, for us, of an anchor, that we're saying, we feel like we needed to commit to something to walk into this community as well. And it also felt very important that we were being welcomed in, that it wasn't just a commitment on our side, but hearing the side from the Anglican Church being part of, you know, committing to us to be here for us, and the way we felt welcomed into this community.
Wow.
So it's kind of both of your questions, I think, all in one.
Yeah. That's great. So same for you, Sasha, if you wouldn't mind sharing.
Yeah, a lot of the things that Bart mentioned were reasons why I was certain that Emmaus Road is the place I want to be my home church, and I want to keep coming here every Sunday and be involved. I remember Emmaus ERA 101, like the second lesson. So the first lesson, it was like September 22nd after the service, and we were learning about the Anglican way in the children's room. And then the second lesson was on Emmaus Road specifically, and that's where you shared how the three pillars of Emmaus Road are Word, Spirit, and Sacrament. And so, like you mentioned, there's not just like Word, or it's not Word without Spirit, it's not Spirit without Word. But then I've seen churches like that throughout my whole life, but the fact that it was Word, Spirit, and Sacrament, it was the first time I realized why Emmaus Road was right. Even more my home than other churches, because everything I value, even like proclaiming the Nicene Creed every single week, is something that's so powerful. And even though I was certain that I want to keep coming here and this be my home church, confirmation was nowhere near my radar.
Right.
But I went to the class anyways, just because I went to the first two. So I figured I didn't want to be two for three. I wanted to be three for three. So yeah. I went to the class, and I had no idea that confirmation was more than just kind of an integration into the church body, that it was also a fresh empowering of the Holy Spirit to do God's work in the world. So I was exposed to the phrase ordination for the laity, that confirmation is like ordination for lay people like all of you and me. And I remember talking to Gray about this when he also got confirmed, and he's saying, I get to go out into the world and do ministry, but I know who my people are and who I get to come back to on Sunday, and these are my people, and I'm being sent out every Sunday to do ministry in the world. And that's something I was like, I remember you asked right after you shared that, any more questions towards the end?
Yeah.
And then I put up my hand and I said, what date is the confirmation service?
I remember
because
that.
Because even though I had like theological questions about things like infant baptism, I didn't want to pass up the opportunity to have the bishop lay hands on me and be blessed in this way. So, yeah.
Amazing. Thanks, guys. Mark, would you come too? You guys can go sit down. This is so beautiful. Yeah, like you can give applause. It's not about them even. It's just about what God's doing. And it's so exciting to hear from different people's stories. And I had two of them share because I thought if I had 14, we'd be here forever. But I had others stand up, so you know. Go and ask. Hear the story. And even more one-on-one, even talk to them about what was that like? What were there things that God did that he spoke into your life in that process or in your actual confirmation? But I had a great conversation with Mark after the service. So Mark attended the service, and Jonathan, who couldn't be here today, his son was confirmed, and so he was there and took in the service. And we were talking after just about some of what hit you in it, and I just wanted you to share with the church because I thought it was really...
Okay. I totally forget what I said to you, but...
Yeah, all good.
But I know what I experienced, and it was very, very powerful for me. I don't like formality, and so when I have to go to these things, like, okay, graduation, church stuff, and I think I know why, because it's about people who are awesome, and I'm not. And so it's all about man, and it's like there's pretense in that for me, because, yeah, people perform, people do stuff, and let's give them a hand and all that. Great. But it doesn't do anything to my soul. The chords of my soul don't go crazy when that happens. But this was about God doing God stuff. And so I have to say that what happened to me when I watched 14 human beings kneeling before a bishop, listening to this, defend, O Lord, this your child with your heavenly graces. And I saw hunger in those who were kneeling, that is power, baby. That's what rocked my soul. And so I think it's also consistent with what I experience here at Emmaus Road, and that is, I'm sorry I'm standing in front of you, not trying to make you any less than me or anything. I used to go to church, and it was a lot of taking. If I liked the worship, if I liked the message, if I liked the ideas, I would take. I come to this church, and I am a hungry pilgrim like the rest of you. We receive, right? Defend, O Lord, this your child with your heavenly graces. That is the gospel. It's not about me. It's not about pretentious stuff. It's about God doing an amazing work in his people. And watching it over and over 14 times just blew my mind. Your faces, I remember some of them. I was undone. It was just an amazing work of God saying, you're mine. Stay away, world, because I'm taking care of you. And he's doing the work, not us. So that just blew my mind.
Incredible. Thank you, Mark. I wanted people to share just because I want us to celebrate as a community. I think sometimes in community we just go from one thing to the next. It's over and we're on to the next thing, and it's just not right. So part of it is just to celebrate together. But the other reason is because I think it's really significant today on Christ the King Sunday. Because we're thinking not only about the fact that Christ is King, but we're also then, I mean, I think it just immediately, you naturally begin to think about what does that mean for me? We talk about the language of what it is to follow Jesus, and the Bible uses some pretty incredible language if you really stop to think about it. We're sons and we're daughters, right? That Jesus said, no longer do I call you servant, I call you friend. There's an intimacy in it, that God so loved the world, right? How did he love us? He gave his only son, who now is seated at the right hand of the Father, that we're sons of a king. And to think that he has all authority in heaven and on earth, as he told his disciples in the end of the Gospel of Matthew, all authority in heaven and earth is mine. Therefore, he says to his subjects, he says to his people, go. Right? And so as we sit together today, I just thought, wow, what an incredible timing in light of confirmation. As 14 of our people were confirmed, I think it speaks something to all of us. And just as a side note, we're going to have Bishop Mike here again in February, just on our normal Sunday service, and so there'll be another opportunity for confirmations when he visits, because there was a few of you that couldn't make the timing work this time. But as well, if you're hearing testimony, you want to learn more, we'll do another class before that service, so you can actually learn more and discern whether that's something you want to do. But just so you know, another opportunity to step into that is coming really soon. The parable that we spoke about today is sometimes referred to in amongst a number of parables that are referred to as kingdom parables. Parables were stories or allegories that Jesus used to try and share the message of the kingdom, to share the heart of God. And often those parables, he connected them directly to this analogy or the idea of a kingdom. So we're told that when Jesus came, part of his message was repent. Why? Does anybody remember? Repent, for the kingdom is at hand, right? And it raises the question, what kingdom? What are we talking about here, right? And so through his ministry, Jesus uses this analogy or this picture of kingdom to begin to speak to why he was here and the message and the good news he was bringing. And one of the ways he would do that, the disciples would ask him sometimes, why are you always speaking in parables? He says, it's because you're not the quickest bunch. Right? Like, and not in a demeaning way, but just to say, I'm not trying to speak over your heads. My message isn't just for the ultra-educated theologian. My message is for everyone, and my message is actually for some who would have a very hard time hearing it because they're so far from it. And so he would speak in parable so that people could hear and wrestle. I think one of the other reasons that Jesus spoke in parable is because parables stay with us. If I read to you Ephesians chapter 1 and something in it hit you and you went home, chances are you'd come back next week and you wouldn't quite remember exactly what it was that I read. But if I tell you a story, there's a chance that you'll walk the rest of your life remembering that story. I have those. Do you have those? I have those from moments when in a sermon or in a one-on-one with a mentor, something was shared with me more in that way and it stuck with me forever. And so I think Jesus is speaking in parable because he's also sowing seeds into the ground that will be able to come up into fruition over time. And this is definitely one of those. And he shares this parable, this analogy, this story, in which it starts, for it will be like, what will be like? And you have to go up to the very start of the chapter when he does another parable, the 10 virgins, when he names it. He says, the kingdom of heaven will be like. And so he's talking about the kingdom of God. And it will be like this, like a master who goes away for an extended time. And before he leaves, he entrusts three of his servants, is the word, Bond servants, those that are committed to care for and to serve him, he commits to them certain talents, an amount of money. To one he gives five, to one he gives two, and to another he gives one. And the way that that's done, why does he give five to this person, two to this, and one to this? Because he knows them. So the parable tells us that this master gives to each according to their ability. He knows them. He's not trying to put more in their hands than they can handle, right? But he's entrusting to them according to sort of their ability, to, according to where they're standing and what they've done. It's not inappropriate that he gave to some more, to some less. I think sometimes we look at it and we feel like the one who only got one, right? And we get kind of upset about that. What are you trying to say, right? But let me tell you something. The guy who got five has days when he's thinking, why do I have to take care of five? He only got one. Like, so nobody's happy if we look at it that way. But to trust the master who says, I'm giving you this, right? And really, the expectation is very clear. It becomes very clear when the master comes back. But the expectation to these guys would have been clear. I'm giving this to you for you to steward, right? It wasn't like an allowance, go have fun. It was very much, you can tell from all three of them, probably actually from the guy with one who buries it in the ground, you see it even clearer maybe than from the others. They knew what was expected. Right? The master would return, and they knew that. So they lived with this stewardship in full anticipation of the master's return. Well, this parable, of course, speaks to us of a couple of things. It speaks to us of this place where the kingdom has come, but the kingdom hasn't come yet. Right? And so our hearts start to ring as we hear it of Christ our King, who's away in a sense, who's seated at the right hand of the Father, but gave us a clear promise, I'm coming again. Right? And at Pentecost especially, but throughout those days after the resurrection, we watch as he gives to the church talents. He entrusts to his servants a stewardship. The other thing that's happening, though, none of that has happened yet when Jesus tells this parable. And so I want us to think for a moment before we jump to that and to the own application for ourselves, to the application to the listener of the time. So first of all, think about the fact that as Jesus is sharing this parable, there are some in the room who are by the Spirit, but certainly by the parable, probably feeling a bit convicted, or should be if they catch it. Because he's speaking to everyone who's listening, and amongst them are Jewish leaders, religious leaders, who look a whole lot more like the guy with one who buried into the ground and did nothing. Who had this incredible good news, this covenant news. And if you look back in the Old Testament, it's so clear that that good news was not just for the Jewish people. That the Jewish people have been given a stewardship for the sake of the world, right? And they've buried it in the ground, so to speak. That by the time Jesus shows up on the scene, I think we could ask the legitimate question of whether or not what they're even like carrying, holding, resembles at all what was put in their hands in the first place. And it's become a weight to the people. It's become a burden to the people, the exact opposite of what it was intended to be, right? And so in comes these kind of things. The other people, though, that we could look at are the rest of the disciples who, too, hear this story. And they hear this proclamation of the kingdom, and they say, the kingdom would be like this, right? And in those people's lives and in those people's minds, they're probably sitting right present in the moment thinking, wow, what's he saying? That the kingdom of God is being given to us to steward. And so there's things starting to stir in the disciples of Jesus that I would imagine this parable comes back, like on the day of Pentecost, for example. Or as they begin to establish and do the work of planting and establishing the church. And it connects back to this idea that we've been given a good news, a gospel to steward. Here in Matthew 25, we have a kingdom parable that on Christ the King Sunday is really worth looking at. Because a kingdom is really a simple concept. A kingdom could be really simply defined as this. It's anywhere where the king's rule touches. That's his kingdom. Right? And so even if you go back into sort of like the cinematic kind of movie, medieval times of kings, right? You see what happens when a king steps across the border of his rule, right? War usually breaks out because there becomes a fight over whether or not he should be doing what he's doing. That's not your kingdom. So there's borders, boundaries to kingdoms. When we talk about the kingdom of God, we're talking about anywhere where the rule of Jesus is at work. Anywhere where the rule of Jesus plays out. Everywhere where he has authority as king. So I mentioned it already, but I love going to Matthew 28, a couple of chapters later, when Jesus speaks into the lives of his disciples what we call now the Great Commission. And before he gives them their commission, he establishes it on this. He says this, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me." Now, biblical language of heaven and earth, really, even if you look in the Psalms, it'll use that language of all heaven and all earth. Anytime you see that, you could almost substitute in this, everywhere you can possibly think of. All of heaven and earth. There is nowhere my authority isn't. You'll notice Jesus says this on this side of the cross and the resurrection. He stands now having defeated sin and death, and he says, there's some good news. All authority is mine. So on Christ the King Sunday, hear that from the lips of your king, who says, my kingdom touches everywhere. My kingdom touches everyone and everything. Maybe today you want to think about your own life and your own situation. Any day you can do this, but today on Christ the King Sunday, to think about where you're at, what you're walking through, who you're touching in your life, the spaces where you come and you go, the situations that you carry and that you feel, and just think about this for a minute on Christ the King Sunday. He's king there. That the Lord is here and his spirit is with us. And to see Christ seated on the throne, kings get thrones. You read the chapters 4 and 5 of Revelation maybe later today on Christ the King Sunday. Maybe it's your reading before you fall to sleep tonight. And consider all of heaven lifting him up and exalting him as king. Right? Around the throne, all the elders cast down their crowns to the King of Kings. Right? In his presence, it just doesn't feel right to wear a crown. There's only one in the room who should have one, and it's him. And so we cast our crowns down, and we join with all of heaven and with all of earth, right, later in our liturgy, and we will sing, we will lift up our worship before the King. And so on this Christ the King Sunday, we take those things in, and I pull us back to then this picture of confirmation, where we had 14 people on Thursday, but many of you have been confirmed or will consider it. And I think confirmation is a beautiful picture, because in confirmation, like Mark said, it was powerful for me, too, to watch 14 people that I care deeply about, that I've journeyed with and that I love and that I see incredible potential in a sense, throw their crowns down. You know, it takes something to kneel before a bishop, to kneel before the church, to surrender, to submit our lives, and to say, Lord, here I am. And that picture of a bishop then laying hands on confirmants and praying the protection and the grace and the infilling, the power, the life of God. Right? And in essence saying, son, daughter, prince, princess, go. Therefore, into the world, in the power of the Spirit, and steward well this incredible treasure that's been given to you. Right? Take that which I've given and invest it wisely. Jesus comes back to these servants who have taken up this charge and have lived into it. And beautiful side note, he says to the one who had 5 and has turned it into 10, and to the one who had 2 and has turned it into 4, the exact same thing. And I think the language there is intentional on Jesus' part. That to both, he says the exact same thing. Let me read it so I don't just kind of make it up. if I can find it. I got new glasses this week. I have progressed in my life. I now have progressives. And so whenever I go to read the Bible, I'm like, it's worse. And then I'm like, oh, right. So that's why old people do this when they read. I just learned that this week. Yeah, exactly. And I've seen you do this. There are many among us. It's just, I get it now. So sorry for all the judgment in the past. No, just kidding. The master says to both, well done, well done, well done. Good and faithful servant. You've been faithful over a little, I will set you over much. Enter into the joy of the master. If I was to title the sermon today, it would be something along the lines of good and faithful. That what's required of us is not to do more than God's asked of us. Right? It's just to be good and faithful with what he's given us. Christ the King, it's awe-inspiring, would say to you as one who follows him and calls him King, okay, great, now go. Not just sit and watch me do it, but he actually invites us into what I love to call kingdom participation, to be actively in the game. One of my mentors early in life was a man named Gary Best, who led the Vineyard in Canada, and he always used to say, he took it too from John Wimber, who started the Vineyard, everybody gets to play. And I think sometimes we can hear things like that, and we can get a little bit like, oh no, what's next? Like, am I going to Africa? Right? Like, it's right away we get a little bit overwhelmed. Remember, he knows you. He will entrust to you according to your ability. He will entrust to you according to what he's given you. Right? You don't have to worry about that. Instead, we should get excited. The King of the universe, the King of Kings, who has all authority, says to us, go. And so on this Christ the King Sunday, he entrusts to each of us what has been entrusted to you. Friends, over the last number of months, I think a little bit in my sabbatical, but certainly since I came back, the Lord has put a prayer in my heart for us as a church, and I've invited you many times already to pray it, but again this morning, I want to lay it out for us again and say, would you pray with me this simple prayer, that we would be good and faithful servants, that we would steward well that which God has given to us. Now, we could sit as a church today and we could say, well, what has he given us? Right? And we would be here all morning. But one of the things, we just came back from Synod, and the theme of Synod this year was all around children and how we pass this gospel on to the next generation, how we do children's ministry and youth ministry, and to be really intentional. One of the things that has been on my heart as I've prayed that, I started praying it before this happened, but since I started praying that, we started to see more and more of you come and join us who are studying at Trinity Western. And we're so excited you're here. But it's one of the areas where I spend time and I pray. I say, Lord, how do we steward well lives that may only be with us for a year? Lives that may be with us only for 4 years, but who are in a season in your life where you are asking really beautiful and important questions, where you are learning who God's made you and what he's calling you to do and to be. Friends, this is an incredible responsibility that the Lord's given to us to steward well. And so we pray, Lord, help us. Many of you here, even in this room, we have so many away today. I just kept getting text after text of people not feeling well. So we can pray. Something's going around. But we can just be praying. And if they were all here, I would actually ask you to stand up if you've only been here for under a year. And there's a lot. Lord, help us to steward well. Right? Our resources, our finances, our ministry opportunities, the options that, but ultimately, friends, when I think about what is it that God has entrusted to us, there's all kinds of ways this gets articulated, but we could all sum it up this way. Ultimately, the treasure of the kingdom is the gospel. It's the person of Jesus. And it's the incredible good news that surrounds who he is. It's Christ the King. It's incredible to think that to us has been entrusted the good news of the gospel. That he said, all authority in heaven and earth is mine, go therefore, right? And teach the gospel. Share the gospel. Welcome people into the good news of Jesus. Baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Teaching them the gospel. Teaching them the good news of Jesus. So this plays out in all kinds of ways. And personally, this week I want to encourage you to pray. But even now that the Spirit would come and he'd begin to open our eyes to see. Not that which we lack, not that which makes us hesitant or worried, not that which he's given to other and not to us, but to sit today and to say, Jesus, what have you put in my hands? What is it that you've called me to steward? What does that look like? What are my spiritual gifts? A question that gets raised in confirmation and that we ask that the Lord would continue to show us. What have you put in my life by some practical ways of things like finances or time, or the station that I have in this life and world? Friends, if you live here in this country, particularly if you were born and raised here, even if you're amongst the most impoverished in our nation, you've been put in a station globally to have, you have a responsibility to steward well what is an incredible opportunity. Where has God put us? What has he placed in our care? What has he called us to? What has he given to us? What kind of opportunities do we have in our lives if we begin to think of our studies, or we think of our work day to day, or we think of our responsibilities at home as parents or as spouses? If you think about the friendships that you have, in what ways inside of these things that take up the bulk of our life are you being called to kingdom participation? Imagine if you thought of your work that way. That if every day you got up and you went to do the job that God has given you to do and thought, Lord, in what way is this, am I partnering with the King today? In what way can I steward the gospel today as I pour into the lives of my children? Doesn't it change the picture? In what ways, when I walk life with my friend, can I think, boy, this could be kingdom participation. Heaven and earth could meet here as we share life together. It sort of raises us up. It raises our expectations on this Christ the King Sunday. The kingdom has come. How do I know? The King is here. I love it. John the Baptist at one point sends some of his disciples when he's in prison to ask Jesus, are you the Messiah? John is just so excited about this reality, right? But he's sitting in a very broken and hard place, and he wants to know, has the King come? Is the one we've waited for, the one who we prepared the way for, can I just clarify, like, are you him? And if you turn back in your Bibles to Matthew 11, this is how Jesus answers his disciples. They said to him, are you the one who is to come, or shall we look for another? And Jesus answered them, go and tell John what you hear and what you see. The blind receive their sight, and the lame walk. Lepers are cleansed, and the deaf hear. And the dead are raised up, and the poor have good news preached to them. And blessed is the one who is not offended by me. Are you the one? Is the kingdom come? Pay attention to what you see and to what you hear. Holy Spirit, would you come, and would you give us eyes and ears to see Christ the King at work? Some of my favorite reading over the past while, just for the fun of it, has been these kind of, there's a lot of writing now where they kind of play with this dystopian idea of a world that's almost come to an end and people are trying to survive in it. And I was thinking about this, being entrusted with this incredible treasure. And it's a bit like that. If we think about living in the world without that awareness, without that good news, it's a bit like that picture of the individual or the very small group of people who are living in some broken, beat-up, dystopian world that's incredibly dangerous. You can't go outside alone, and everyone, it's every man, you're kind of living in this space, when all of a sudden, right, a plane flies overhead. So first of all, you're just like completely freaked out because you thought there was no more such thing. And the bottom of it opens up, and flyers begin to just rain down upon the earth. And when you grab one and lift it up, you find an announcement about sanctuary. That there somewhere is civilization, people who have found a safe place and have brought order and are inviting those who have not yet heard to come into the sanctuary. And the direction's there. This is how you get there. And when you get there, you are welcome. And I just, as I, that came to me as I was praying and preparing on this Christ the King Sunday, there are so many who don't know there's a king seated on the throne. And that there's sanctuary for them. This is even language of the Bible, isn't it? This is the good news of the psalm. We pray it together. And we know that. What does it look like for us to take that which has been entrusted to us? And to go to the kind of effort it would be in a dystopian reality to get a plane fueled up and working again and up into the air and to spread the good news of the gospel at whatever cost. Knowing that there are many who are struggling for their very lives, unaware that there's sanctuary, unaware that there's a different option. On this Christ the King Sunday, we have been commissioned. We have been called and entrusted with the gospel. But I love connecting this with our confirmations because we also need to be reminded that at the same time, the King hasn't only given us a commission, he's also given us the power of his Spirit to empower us and to fill us to walk that mission out. Christ the King invites all who follow him to participate in kingdom ministry. Friends, you who follow Jesus are called. You're invited. You have the distinct privilege and joy of kingdom life. To be the ones who share that good news with those who didn't know. With those who have yet to put their trust in the good news of the gospel. There's a third listener to this story, and it's you and I today. And so simply I'll bring it back to this and then we'll pray. As you think about this today and throughout this week, and as you sit and you meditate upon and celebrate Christ our King, let's finish. Advent will start next Sunday. Let's finish this year strong, right? Let's run with everything we have again across that finish line. Let's celebrate Christ the King this week. And as we do that, ask yourself two simple questions. What has God entrusted to you? And what will you do with it? I'm inviting us to ask those questions and to prayerfully always ask those questions together. As a church, what has God entrusted to us? And what will we do with it? Let's pray. Christ, our King, we pledge allegiance to you. We praise you. We recognize and acknowledge you as the King of Kings. And with grateful hearts, we thank you that we are yours. That we get to live kingdom life. That in and amongst the kingdoms of this earth, we serve one who clearly said, "My kingdom is not of this world." Holy Spirit, would you come Thank you for what you did in our friends' lives at the confirmation service. We pray today, here, right now, in this moment, that you would come in your power and that you would pour out your Spirit fresh on us. King Jesus, that you would set us apart again today. Thank you. Thank you for the treasure of the kingdom. Like a pearl of great price, I pray that our hearts and our minds would be in a fresh way brought to an understanding and to the joy of the good news that has saved our lives, that is every day seeking to transform us and to form us in the way of Jesus that we might know life and life to the full. Thank you for sanctuary. Thank you for hope. Thank you that you're sovereign in the midst of sickness and suffering, that you're sovereign in the midst of the unknown, that you're sovereign over our lives as we seek to walk them out in a way that honors you. And we thank you for that which you've entrusted to us. What an honor. And humbly, Lord, we confess that apart from you, it would have probably been a bad idea. But by your Spirit, let us be good and faithful. Means we're going to need, Lord, some gifts. We need to be able to see what you see, to hear what you say. Hearts touched and set free to follow and to walk in faith. So God, would you come teach us? And ultimately, we are just asking that you would help us to steward well that which you've given us to steward.